If anything would stand on the way, Heavenly Father,
yes,
from you coming and taking full preeminence, Heavenly Father, in our life and in this service, we bring it under the blood.
Yes.
Come, Lord Jesus Christ, take preeminence. Lord Jesus Christ, go from seat to seat. Reveal your word, Heavenly Father, to each one of us,
yes,
as we have need of you, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Take full control of this service. Not only this service, the other Sunday school too, Heavenly Father,
yes,
and the entire service, Heavenly Father. We are all at your feet, Heavenly Father, yes, desiring to hear from you.
Yes.
Anoint your anoint our precious brother.
Thank you.
Take him off the way.
Yes.
Use him just as a vessel.
Yes.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all this with thanksgiving.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If we can turn our scriptures or our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Starting with verse 1, Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 1. The scripture reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. I'd like to take a subject this morning, talking about the family and focusing on the children. The children. And specifically this morning, if the Lord permits, talking about child training. So you say, you know, this is going to be focused on just parents with young children. I would say no, because the scriptures are universal and eternal. So just as in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about marriage, the marriage being between a husband and wife and a natural, wife and the natural, but also in the spiritual between us and Christ. And so you can see the parallels or the universality of the scriptures. So whether it's our relationship with each other here on earth or our relationship with Christ, you can see all the things, they run in parallel or continuity. So we're looking at child training. So as we go through this, to fit yourself in your particular situation with the scriptures. So if you have small children, then apply it as such. If your children are older, think about it in that terms, or maybe their grandchildren, perhaps, into advising your children to teach your grandchildren. If you're a single situation and you're looking to be married, to be looking at this in the future of how this could apply to you as you get ready to get married and to have a family. If it's if you're single and there's no plan or will of God to get married, then how is this relationship with you and Christ? Because he child trains us as well. Amen. So looking at the scripture, and it'll be definitely trying to dig out some things here and peel back, as some would say, the onion, or dig down to see what it is. And so we will try, by the help of the Lord, looking at some words as well and try to understand the meaning of these words so we could have a better understanding. You know, we want to have knowledge, but we want to have understanding. Because remember, wisdom comes by the understanding of the scriptures. So you may know the scriptures, but you want to have the understanding so that you may apply the scriptures correctly. And wisdom, revelation, they're all tied together. It's insight or understanding of what God is telling us. Now, it starts with first knowledge. So we understand the scriptures by knowledge. Thou shalt not this or do this and those type of things. But as we mature in Christ, God gives us the understanding of revelation. So we have a relationship that we start as little children, but then as we get older, we come into maturity and God treats us differently as we come into maturity. So you notice that in the disciples' relationship with Jesus Christ, it started out a certain way, but as it began to mature, their relationship, then he says, now I call you friends. And so he has a friend relationship as opposed to more of a teacher-student relationship, so that it evolved. And so we know that a relationship also can be a father to a child in our relationship, but as we mature, then God treats us as the bride. So if you look at Adam and Eve's relationship, they were co-equals, as Brother Branham said, before the fall. And so you look at Christ and the bride, it's a relationship that's, you know, not a father-child relationship, but more of together as one. So are we all together? Are we understanding that? So there's different levels as we move forward. So going to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Now we understand, children, obey your parents and the Lord. That's very plain. Honor thy father and thy mother. That is plain as well. But the scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So this first part about provoke not your children to wrath, it is easily done. Those who are fathers, who've had sons, myself having a son, you sometimes do not put yourself at their level of understanding. And so you're wanting them to come up to this place. Your understanding is here. Theirs is down here. And so in the effort to try to bring them up, if they don't do exactly what you think they should do or how you think they should do, you get frustrated. And then sometimes the human nature comes out and you start to do things that will potentially discourage your son or your children. And so he says this for a reason, because fathers can have a tendency to do this. Now, he, in the book of Colossians, he mentions this also. He says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So this making a child angry or provoking can discourage the child. And when the child is discouraged, then they lose motivation and they will not want to get better or self-improve. So you want to be careful about discouraging. And I've learned many lessons in this, as well as I'm sure many of us. And we understand that the understanding of how to train or raise children does not come naturally. It's not intuitive that you're born with that, this is how I raise children and I already understand it, but we have to be taught. Now, those of you all were here last Sunday, we talked about marriage, focus on marriage, and men do not understand how to treat the wife just automatically. It has to be learned over time, because the woman is very different. And so he has to study and get feedback and then apply things and make mistakes and then learn from those mistakes. And then eventually, if that individual is a good learner or a good student, then they become better and better, right? A student that doesn't learn from his mistakes, it's not a good student. And we'll get into that a little bit about, you know, because in the scriptures, it contrasts wisdom and foolishness. And so we'd like to break that out a little bit by the help of the Lord. So it says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So this word nurture is a very deep meaning word. So it's giving instructions to the fathers. He says, bring them up. That's one part. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Three parts. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I want to break that down by God's grace, looking at how the Greek words play out here. Now, the first part, bring up. So when you take the root, it says, it means to nourish up to maturity. So we know nourish means, you know, we bless the food for the nourishment of our bodies, is to give us nutrients or strength so that we can grow and be healthy. So nourish up to maturity. So what is maturity? We want to define what maturity is. How does God define maturity? Because we are all wanting to come to maturity. That is our goal as children of God. And so to take what God has said in His Word and to apply it to our lives so that we can be mature brothers and sisters. And we know that the ultimate maturity that we're trying to reach is to what God has for us as the adoption, right? The adoption. Basically, that everything that the Father has willed is done in us. And so we do whatever the Father wills. And so that's the ultimate maturity, is total obedience to God. And so the Word of God flows through us, and there's no resistance at all, just like Jesus. He was the example, right? And so nourish up to maturity. So that's the spiritual sense. But what about the natural sense of our children? We want to bring them up to maturity. And what is the definition of maturity? If you all would just be a little patient on that, because we'll get to that here in a second. So breaking that word down also, the nurture. So it's broken down in this way. Nurture, instruction, chastisement. So nurture, instruction, chastisement. Now it's broken down a little bit further. We know that when we say nurture, we think of like a mother nurturing her children, right? Bringing them up. And it's when you think of that, you're not thinking of very hard, you know, very rough and things, but you're thinking of, it's a balance between trying to bring them up, encourage them in a positive way. So, and then instruction, we know what instruction is, and chastisement, we know what that is. Chastisement in the Bible is usually associated with rebellion, deliberately disobeying the word of God, and it's handled with chastisement. And so when you look in the book of Proverbs, that's usually dealing with the rod. And when the rod is applied, it brings brokenness. Because why does that happen, that there is a self-will or a determination or a rebellion? It's because there is a lifting up. There is a pride, and we'll break that down, because foolishness is associated with pride as well. So there's a lifting up, there's a puffing up, and there's a boldness that takes place. And so against the authority of the parents, against authority of God. And so that needs to be checked. And so how can it be checked is when there's humbleness in there. How can humbleness be brought is by the rod in children. So it brings contrition, you know. And there's a proper way to do the discipline with the rod. It must be done in love. And it must not be excessive. And it must achieve the goal by which it was started for. So remember, when God deals with us with discipline, it's to bring about reconciliation. So that means the relationship is restored. Now, a child does something wrong and directly disobeys the parents willfully, then that provides a separation. And so the parent in love wants to bring that child back to the relationship. And so, therefore, the humbleness needs to occur. And then if applied correctly, it brings about humbleness and reconciliation. If it brings about more anger or more self-will, then it was not done correctly. Do you understand? And we've seen that probably in our mistakes as fathers and as parents, as mothers. So now you break down that word nurture. Again, the whole training and education of children, which relate to the cultivation of mind and morals. The whole training. So remember, education is learning through the mind. But training is application in our behavior. So in the military, when you're being trained how to do marching, then you have to practice. And so they teach you, they first of all instruct you, they say you need to have your feet together, your heels together, you need to have your hands at the seams of your trousers, you need to stand straight, your legs together, that type of thing. So it's told you, but now they say, demonstrate it, so show me. And so you stand that way, and maybe your feet are apart, maybe your hands are like this, and so you have to be corrected, put it this, your hands here, and then put your feet together. And so then they say, stand at attention, so you do that. Now they try to repeat it many times until it gets ingrained. And so it's no more you just have an understanding of it in your mind, but it's actually practiced, and it's actually lived that way. You understand what I'm saying? So it sometimes takes repetition, practice, correction, and then eventually the person gets it, and then they can do it on their own. So that's training versus education. Now, which relates to the cultivation of mind and morals. So when you look at the word cultivation, cultivation usually deals with the ground, the soil, as you plow it up so that you can plant the seeds so they can grow. So unless you cultivate, unless you plow that out, you put the seed there, there's no growth going to happen. You understand what I'm saying? So now we take it because the Word of God has got to be cultivated in our minds. So he says cultivation of the mind and morals. Now, I'm going to break that down a little bit because in the Scriptures it talks about the mind and how God wants to put things in our mind. Remember the Scripture says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about, I will write my laws into their minds and place them in their hearts. Remember those scriptures. And so he's trying to inscript the Word of God into our minds so that they become ingrained or etched there. You know, in the Scriptures, in Deuteronomy, it talks about raising children and to be talk to them about the Word of God. Now, we can talk to them about the Word of God and the Scriptures and things and let them memorize that, but that's knowledge, if you understand what I'm saying. So we want them to have the understanding and the practical application. So when you get into a situation where you must apply the Word of God, then you understand it so that you can make the correct decision. So remember, wisdom is making the right judgment and the right decision. And so you've got to have a discernment to understand and make that right decision. So remember, Jesus had the wisdom and understanding. And so when it came to a spot where the Word of God must be applied with the understanding, remember the Pharisees and Sadducees, they did not have the correct understanding of the Scriptures and insight. But Jesus corrected it, and then he applied that. So remember, there's knowledge, but there's also the application of that knowledge, which is wisdom. And so we as fathers, as mothers, we gain wisdom as we grow in age because we've learned things along the way. We've had experiences, and so therefore we have the credibility and to tell our children things because we've already gone on that road, right? And so as we pass things on to them, we ought to be passing down wisdom of the things that we have learned. So I remember I did this and I made this mistake. Don't do that. I thought, you know, I should do this, but I remember the Scripture said this. And so this is how I learned from it. So I made a mistake this time, but later on when I went through that again, I applied it correctly. So don't learn the same mistake. And so when it talks about talking about the Word of God as we're rising up, as we're walking along, post them on. So as we're talking with our children, then we talk about the Scriptures, but we talk about the wisdom of the Scriptures so that their mind is cultivated. Now, the Scripture says that a child left to himself brings his mother shame. I can't remember his mother or father, but brings the parents shame. A child left to himself. So children are not to be raised on their own. They're not to grow up on their own. They are to be taught. They are to be trained. If they're not, then they will bring us shame. And so we are to cultivate their mind, to talk with them of things. Now, there's different stages because the first stage, the children just really need to learn simple obedience. But then further on, each stage, then they get a deeper understanding, and they grow in maturity and understanding. Therefore, it doesn't work to just tell them, because I said so, when they're teenagers, you must give them knowledge and wisdom so that they can apply it to their situations. It's when they're 4 or 5 years old, they need just don't do that, don't touch that. But as they grow older, in order for them to come to maturity as an adult, they need to be applied or implanted in their mind wisdom. Are we all understanding? So cultivation of minds and morals and employs for this purpose now commands and admonitions, now approve and punishment. So employs means to put into action for this purpose now commands, admonitions, reproof, and punishments. So we know what commands are. They're telling you what to do or instructions. Admonitions. What is admonition? Admonition is a gentle or friendly reproof. Now, a reproof isn't a rebuke, okay? So somebody does something wrong, and they're definitely wrong out of the right way, then they can be rebuked. But admonition is a gentle or friendly reproof, counsel or warning against fault or oversight. Proof and then punishment. We know what punishment is. So whatever in adults also cultivates the soul by correcting mistakes and curbing passions. Now, we'll get into curbing passions in a little bit, because when we are born, we are born with passions. We are born with innate desires that are against God. In our flesh, we're born speaking lies. We're born in iniquity and shaped in iniquity. And so there's all these things within us, but those things must be curbed and checked. So when a child grows up, you don't have to teach them. We know to lie. They already have that born in them. And so we have to correct it and curb those passions. Instruction, which aims at increasing virtue. Increasing virtue. So virtue being conformity to a standard of right, moral excellence. So instruction with the aim to increase virtue. Okay. Amen. So I just wanted to lay that for a foundation, and now I want to kind of get you to understand where we are and why I'm getting to this a little bit, because we have a problem in the world. And it's much more severe than it ever has been. And so the things I'm about to say, they are well known, whether it's in the church or whether it's in the world, these facts are well known. But it is the problem that we have with children and young adults today. And so we know that, if you can just take us back a little bit, when we look at what the desired state that we want to be in, the desired state that we want our children to be in, there is a, it just doesn't happen overnight. And it has to start as early as possible. So the problems that we face when people become adults, men become adults, women become adults, and they get married, and there's problems in marriage, problems with children, you know, many times it's because they didn't get the correct teaching or training or instruction when they were little. Because God provides promises if you do the things right from the beginning. He says, train up a child in the way he should go, and in the end he will not depart from that. So there's a promise there, right? So, but we've got to train. It's not just let them grow up by themselves. It's not just feed them or provide shelter. It is train them up in the way they should go. And so if we train them correctly here, then as they grow older, then it has a domino effect, if you would. And so they will be good young people. They will be good young adults. They will be good, responsible, wise, prudent young adults. They will lead, you know, be an example to the rest, to the younger ones. Then as they grow up, then they become, you know, they get married. They become good, strong marriages. Then little kids, good, strong families. And it just perpetuates itself, right? Now, I want us to read a couple scriptures before I get into this other part. Psalms 127. We ought to know what the scripture says about children and how they are for us and how they're a gift of God to us and what their purpose is. So in Psalms 127, starting with verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, And the fruit of the womb is his reward. So a heritage. Heritage is like an inheritance, a possession, a legacy. So something that God passes on to you. It's a gift. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. So children can be arrows. Arrows are weapons, right? So are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. So, you know, those who don't want children, those who want very few children, I'm not saying you have to have as many as I do or, you know, 20 or anything like that. You know, God has his gift for each individual, but you understand the motivation and the thought that people have. You know, everything is by motivation and objectives, as the prophet said. So what is your motivation for having few children, right? And so there's people that don't want children. They want to have very few because they believe they're going to get in the way. They're going to cause me not to have the life that I want to have, right? So arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. So if you have a quiver full, you shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So what does that mean, to speak with the enemy in the gate? Speak, declare, converse, command, promise, warn, threaten, sing, put to flight. So the children, we know that if we are trained right and we've done the things that God has told us to do and are obedient to his word and do the things and, you know, and we learn from our mistakes, but we do all those things, then they can be a testimony. They can be a multiplication, right? So, you know, five is better than one. And so the things that God has instilled in you, you instill in the children, and they grow up with that. And then they become testimonies, and they become arrows, right, to put the enemy to flight. Now, so children are a gift, they're a privilege, they're an honor. And we should take them seriously, and we should invest in them. You know, what better than to invest than into the heritage of the Lord, right? You know, sometimes we say, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, I'm busy, I got to do my career or my study or, you know, whatever it may be. You know, we've got to check the direction that we're going and our motives and objectives. Because, you know, God looks at how we invest our time. And so time is very precious. And so we want to put it in the right place. Now, here's an article. Some of the brothers are familiar with it. I've mentioned it before, and other brothers have mentioned it different places. But it's just showing the problem that we have in society, which creeps in to our congregation as well. So why men are in trouble? Okay. For the first time in history, women are better educated, more ambitious, and arguably more successful than men. We know that women are rising up. We know they're taking their position. We know that that is the spirit. But it's also because men are not taking their position. So the data does not bode well for men. In 1970, men earned 60% of all college degrees. In 1980, the figure fell to 50%. By 2006, it was 43%. So we're talking about men losing ambition, men losing vision. And remember, part of vision is of a man is being responsible. I mean, we'll get that in the scriptures, but, you know, to develop wisdom by experience, by the word of God, responsibility, and to be in control of their selves, their passions, self-control, right? Because if you're self-controlled, then you can make the right decisions. You're not driven by your desires. You're not driven by your passions. You're not driven by lust. You make decisions based on what is right. And so a good soldier is disciplined in that they get the order to take that hill, even though they're by themselves, and go against the enemy. If it's one person, two person, or maybe more, but they will take that order, and no matter when the bullets are flying, how many they see in the enemy, they will go and follow that order. And so the same thing of a mature man has control over their senses to do exactly what the Word of God tells them to do, to what God tells them to do as a child, to do what the father or mother tells them to do without hesitation. And so a person that has his senses under control, or self-control, they know they have a pull of temptation. They have a pull of this direction, but they know what is right, and that is foremost in their mind, and that's how they make their decision. So now, he says, in 1950, 5% of men at the prime working age were unemployed. As of last year, this was 2011, this article, as of last year, 20% were not working, the highest ever recorded. Oh, I'm sorry, let me go back. In 1950, 5% of men at the prime working age were unemployed. 5%, single digits. As of last year, 20% were not working, the highest ever recorded. Men still maintain a majority of the highest paid and most powerful occupations, but women are catching them and will soon be passing them if this trend continues. And maybe it's passed by now, 2017. If you don't believe the numbers, just ask young women about men today. You will find them talking about prolonged adolescence and men who refuse to grow up. So we don't just see this outside, but we see it creeping into the message. Okay, so men are dealing with irresponsibility. They're more into entertainment, whatever the video games or just having fun or living with the parents too long, right? All these different things. And I'm doing this to just try to encourage us, inspire us. Remember, encourage means to inspire us to do the right thing, right? I'm not trying to beat down, but I'm trying to bring awareness so that we can be inspired to do better. So you will find them talking about prolonged adolescence and men who refuse to grow up. I've heard too many young women asking, where are the decent single men, right? Perhaps your daughters have said that. Perhaps there's people, women in here that have said that and thought that in their mind. Where are the decent single men? There is a maturity deficit among men out there, and men are falling behind. Man's response has been pathetic. Today, 18 to 34-year-old men spend more time playing video games a day than 12 to 17-year-old boys. While women are graduating college and finding good jobs, too many men are not going to work, not getting married, and not raising families. Women are beginning to take the place of men in many ways. This has led some to ask, do we even need men? So you see, the role of men before was a provider, the head of the house, the protector. But now the culture is that we don't need men, which is totally reversed in God's eyes. So what's wrong? Increasingly, the messages to boys about what it means to be a man are confusing. So we're living in a confusing time where men don't know how to be men. And it's because of a lack of understanding, a lack of training. And even this man who's not a strong believer, not even a strong Christian, but yet you can see what his assessment is later on here in his recommendation. And it goes along with the scripture. He says, confusing, the machismo of the street gang calls out with a swagger. Video games, television, and music offer dubious lessons to boys who have been abandoned by their fathers. So a father not engaged with their children. Some coaches and drill sergeants bark, what kind of man are you, but don't explain. Movies are filled with stories of men who refuse to grow up and refuse to take responsibility in relationships. So if we're watching movies and things of the world, that's going to influence us the way that we think we should be as men. And so if we're listening to those things, how are we going to be as men, right? We're not going to be mature men. We're not going to be responsible men. Men, some obsessed with sex, treat women as toys to be discarded when things get complicated. This is all worldly influence. Through all these different and conflicting signals, our boys must decipher what it means to be a man, or for many of them, it is harder to figure out. And so, you know, when they're raised this way and they're not given instruction, and they're not taught and they're not trained, what would you expect from a child, right? And then many parents, they blame the children, but how were they taught or trained, right? And so us as parents, we have a responsibility for our children, and it's not easy, right? Training children and spending time with them, talking with them, teaching them, it takes time. It takes energy. You know, we already work as far as husbands, but the responsibility lays with us. And so God many times allows us to be in difficult situations to see how we're going to react. If everything was easy, you know, then where would, you know, the test, trials, the character building be? But he wants to see what we're going to do in this. So are we going to turn to God or just succumb to Laodicea and say, oh, it's just too hard? By God's grace, we can do it. So now he says here, through all these different and conflicting signals, our boys, okay, for boys to become men, they need to be guided through advice, habit, example, and correction. Does that not sound familiar? So this is a man that just gained this knowledge or insight or wisdom just by his experience. Now, he's an older gentleman, but he says, guided through advice, habit, instruction, example, and correction. All had to do with what we just read about the teaching, the training, and correcting. It is true in all ages. Someone once characterized the two essential questions Plato posed as, who teaches the children? What do we teach them? Each generation of men and women have an obligation to teach the younger males and females, of course, coming behind them. William Wadsworth said, others will love and will teach them how, when they fall in the obligation, trouble surely... I'm going to skip that part because I can't read it very well. We need to respond to this culture that sends confusing signals to young men, a culture that is agnostic about what it wants men to be, with a clear and achievable notion of manhood. The founding fathers believe, and the evidence still shows, that industriousness, marriage, so industriousness means hard work, responsibility. Remember, hard work is in the Bible. I mean, you look at Proverbs, it speaks against the sluggard and the slothful. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, right? Marriage and religion are very important bases for male empowerment and achievement. We may need to say to a number of our 20-something men, get off the video games 5 hours a day, get yourself together, get a challenging job, and get married. And so how many parents have said that or heard other parents say that? So that is, yes, that's a statement that ought to be made. But then it comes down to the daily, everyday life and applying it to our children every day. Now, we're going to continue on this. I'm going to read something else, but I don't want to, I know you all are just saying, okay, you're saying that we need to do this, but we need the practical application, and we trust that we'll be able to do that in successive lessons, because if the devil is fighting us in full force with the social media, with the internet, with the movies, with the video games, and with a full-on onslaught force, then we as children of God have to raise up a standard and we have to fight against that. And so we want to, as ministers, to give everything that is needed as God leads us. And then we want each of us to take the Word of God and apply it to our lives. Not just to hear it and just let it sit there, but to take it, absorb it, digest it. Now, remember, some people live on a superficial Christian life. And so when I say superficial, it's, you know, they know the things of the Scriptures. They know the message, but does it dig down deep? And then does it dig down to the point where it is absorbed and it is applied, right? So it's on the surface. It's a knowledge, you know. They can spit off the quotes because they've heard it so many years, but does it mean anything, right? And so we talked about this before. It talks about it in the scriptures to take the word of God and to meditate upon it day and night. And so as you meditate upon the word, then the word begins to soak in. And then God begins to open up the meaning and to reveal what it is. Now, we know that the word of God is sharp. So it digs down if we let it. But if we keep it on a surface level and say, okay, I got it. I know that already. That doesn't apply to me. Then it just becomes a superficial relationship. But then when you take it and say, Lord, what does this mean to me? Help me to understand it. And meditate. And sometimes we have to get into a quiet place where God can really speak to us. And then, it's not about how many scriptures that we can read a day, how many messages we can read a day, but how is that message penetrating our mind and our heart? Because it does no good if it just stays up here into a knowledge, but it's got to dig down. And if we let it, that word will dig down and it will comb out the things, the misunderstanding, the things that are not right. And as the scripture was saying, in the meaning of the cultivate, the mind. So we want that to scrape and dig and to dig out what is needful, right? Got one more thing here. I want to read here. Let's see here. If you just stand by a second. Okay. Now, this gentleman, he's not a message believer, but he believes the Bible, okay? And he has had 6 children, and he's raised them well. Most of them are adults, right? And, I remember listening to this because, all of us, when we're going down this road, we want to know how we're supposed to live our life. We want to know what's our responsibilities. We want to know what God expects of us. And so as a new Christian, with children, how do I train these children, And it was a cry because, we all make many mistakes because we don't do it with knowledge. It's in ignorance. It's not intentional. We don't do it because we want to damage our children, but we do that because we think it's the best thing we know of. And so, I could just go back and see, my oldest, Rachel, when we were raising her, that she was a little child, maybe 6 months to a year or something like that, and I wanted her to sit still in service. And so whenever she would cry or she would, you move around and things like that, I would take her out and start spanking her, right? And I did that many times and didn't seem to work, right? You get to the point sometimes where you're trying to do everything and you're exasperated. Because I'm trying to do, like the Bible talks about, the discipline and things, but it's not working. And God, what do I do? How do I deal with it? And so sometimes God lets us go through that, so we turn to Him for the answers. And, as I began to, pray and cry out, then the Lord began to put people in my life. That gave me wisdom, gave me advice. They had children, they raised them, and you look at their children, they're well-behaved, they're good children, they're following the Lord and things like that. And so when you see that, the fruits of that, then you say, what are you doing? How are you doing that? And so I remember early when my children were young that I was introduced to Biblical Insights to Child Training. That's a series that this gentleman has, and it's all biblical based, but I'm just going to read something out of here and a few more things perhaps in the future. But he says, the job of parenting has always been a difficult one, but those who have lived in America for the last 40 years have watched it become even more so. Our children are faced with the influence of a declining morality, and as parents, we are less confident than our predecessors in our knowledge of raising them. With the experts offering contradictory advice and the lack of a cohesive biblical consensus within the church, Christian parents have found themselves feeling helpless and frustrated with their children. Does it sound familiar? Did for me. I'm going to have to close here in a second. I'm just going to read the rest of this paragraph and we'll all stand. For many of them, parenting has become such a source of frustration that they do everything within their power to prevent the conception of any more problems. And sometimes that's the problem, is that you're trying to do it by your own might and will. Their stress is so great that they count the days until their children are old enough to go to school or move out on their own. Does that sound familiar? I hear a lot of parents say that, including some with, you know, relatives. They look forward to summertime and holiday vacations, but dread the thought of being with their children all day long. That ought not to be. Amen. I ran out of time. Let's all stand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for thy word. And Lord Jesus, we know that your word has a purpose, O Father. And that word will accomplish its purpose. However many it touches, O Lord Jesus, and accepts it, O Father, to receive it. And Lord Jesus, we know that it will not return void. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just help us, dear Father. Lord Jesus, we have no power within ourselves or any ability, O Lord. And Lord, we simply rely on you to show us the way, O Father. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you help us. Continue to show us the ways that you would have us to go. In your word, O Lord, to change the way we think if it's not pleasing to you, if it's not the way that you want us to. If we're not being totally obedient, O Lord Jesus, to expose that, O Father, we want to be corrected, dear Father. We want to know the way that you would have us to go. Lord Jesus, help each brother and sister that's here this morning, O Lord, and help us to continue to humble ourselves to receive the words of life. And Lord Jesus, for the song service and the preaching of the word, O Lord Jesus, blessed, guided, O Lord Jesus, have the preeminence. Those who are not here, be with them, strengthen them, bless them. Those who are traveling, O Lord, be with them, O Lord, and keep them. Those who are sick and afflicted, be with them, O Lord Jesus. Strengthen them, heal them, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.